There is something in a name. My name is Dion. If you're visiting or a guest, minister, preacher here, we have been focusing on names for the past several weeks. We've been wearing name tags as a way to just help us get reacquainted with one another, going through 2 years of COVID, and man, there's so many new faces, and so we've been wearing name tags during this series as a way to just make sure that we are getting to know each other by name. We often know each other by face, but hopefully we can get to know each other by name. And so we've explored this idea of names over the past month or so by looking at the names of God. Shared last week, Darlene Gaines was kind enough to share with us a blanket that she has in her possession. It's over there. That's what it looks like up close. But if you have a moment, just go over and take a look. And on that blanket, you see the many names of God that we see throughout Scripture. The Bible gives various names of God that tell us about his characteristics, his attributes. They describe God's personality. And these descriptions help us to see God with clearer eyes, and they help us to grow in our relationship with God. Looking at the names of God, we have also been invited to explore some of our names, our personal names. And each week, I do a little few-minute research just on some names of some folks here in the audience, members of our church. I love studying the origin and meanings of names. And again, I would encourage you to do so. It's a really easy thing. If you have access to a computer, just go to a computer and Google meanings of names. And there are probably hundreds of sites that you can go in and just type in a name, and you can get the meaning of a name. Looking at a couple, several this week, I don't see him here, Travis Menzler. Looked up Travis. Travis' name means the crossing or the toll gate, like something that you have to go through to get to the other side. That is such a fitting name for Travis, you all, because Travis is just one of those guys that, yeah, in order to get to them, you got to come through me. Don't tell him I said that. But that's just how Travis is. I do want to give Travis a shout out this morning again. I shared a couple weeks ago that we recently received a $4,000 grant from the Lindsay Family Foundation to partner with a local school. So we're using that money, $4,000, to partner with the Slate Ridge Elementary School, which is just southeast of here. And we're looking forward to that. And Travis did a lot of writing and legwork to get that done. So just want to thank him for that. We used to have, Travis is married to a Wendy. We used to have two Wendys, and now we got three Wendys. So we have a Wendy Menzler, and then we have Wendy Brown squared. We actually have two Wendy Browns in the house. Wendy, do y'all know what that name means? You know what your name means? Your name means friend or blessed ring. Friend or blessed ring. That's a really beautiful name. We have several Barbaras in the house. We've got a Barbara Rudolph, a Barbara Parham, and a Barbara Boer. Barbaras, I see one Barbara. You know what your name means? Your name, your name means stranger or foreigner. That's a really popular name too, right, Barbara? But the cool thing about at least the Barbaras in our church is that I don't know that our Barbaras are strangers or foreigners, right? They everybody knows the Barbaras. And then my man Emilio Trejo. Where's Emilio? Do you know what your name means? What do you say? No, it doesn't mean enemy. Your name means to strive or excel. Wow, that's like putting it up there, man. You got to live up to that, man. So we're looking forward to you excelling and striving in everything that you do. Again, I love looking at the meanings of names. In the previous five sermons, we focused on the Hebrew names of God. So that means that we were primarily looking at the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, and that's where we get the Hebrew names of God. And so up on the screen, you can see some of the names that we've looked at, Elohim and I am who I am. That's Yahweh. He is who he is, Yahweh. Jehovah Jireh. We looked at Jehovah Sabaoth, El Shaddai. Those are Hebrew names. This morning, I want us to take a turn to the New Testament and take a look at a name that I think positions us in the most intimate posture in terms of relationship with God. That's why we're studying the names of God, not just as some scientific exercise so that we just know meanings. But hopefully through looking at the meanings of God's name, it fuels our relationship with God. And to begin our discovery of this name, we have to go to a garden. Mark chapter 14 is where we'll launch this morning. Mark chapter 14, starting at verse number 32. We're going to go to a garden. The garden is called Gethsemane. If you're familiar with the New Testament and the Gospels, the Garden of Gethsemane is this scene that holds one of the most intense scenes in the life of Jesus. The Gospels are stories about Jesus. And Jesus had just concluded having a meal, a supper, a last supper with his disciples. They ate bread and drank wine as we just did a few moments ago. And then they're leaving. He had this moment where he discovered or shared with the group there that there was someone in that close circle of disciples that betrayed him. That was a pretty intense scene. But then we're going to the garden for, one of the most intense scenes in the life of Jesus. Mark chapter 14, starting at verse number 32, it says, They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Abba, not Abba, the 70s music group. Abba. This is such an emotional scene. This noise every week, church, I tell you what. It's all right. Kent is on it just like the superhero that he is. This scene is a very emotional scene, and it's hard to read this scene without feeling like the intensity of that moment. I recall how they have depicted this scene in various movies and series. This scene is always it's dark and it's eerie and it's tense. And Jesus is on the brink of going through the most painful experience any human can experience. And like any of us, we are preparing to go, or like any of us going through a particular intense time, we're anxious and we're emotionally drained. And oftentimes we pray. I have some issues with my eyes, and a couple weeks ago, my doctor told me that I had to get an injection in my eye. I said, "Injection? You mean like with a needle?" "Oh, yeah." And she said it all nonchalant and said, "Yeah, we'll just we'll just bring you back here in a couple weeks, and you'll get this injection in your eye. You know, as if it was like just giving me a high five or something. That's how she said it. So, of course, I went home, and I'm Googling, like, injection in eye, what is this? And they're showing the needle, and I got to be honest with you, you know, I'm typically, when I go to the doctor, when I get my blood drawn, I'm, you know, that's nothing. But when you're messing with my eye, a little anxious, a little nervous. I wanted to call Melissa, who's, you know, she works with eyes. I wanted to kind of get some relief from her, you know, like, hey, what is this? And so anyway, I remember going to the doctor. This was just a couple weeks ago, and going in, and as they're preparing, I'm like grabbing my seat, you know, that chair that big leather seat, and everything, and I'm grabbing a chair, like, and it's just anxious, like when you're going through something intense, like there's and I'll be honest with you, like they left the room and said, hey, we'll be back in to numb you up, you know. I'm said a quick prayer, you know, don't hit the needle. Don't hit the needle in the wrong place of the eye. I want to see when we go through intense and anxious moments. We pray. It's something that is drawn out of us, and it's no different from this moment in the life of Jesus. More intense and more anxious than getting your eye poked in. Jesus knew that he was about to go through. Something that humans just should not have to go through. And it was in that moment of deep anxiety and stress that he prayed, crying out to God emphatically by calling him Abba. Abba is a Aramaic word. Jesus spoke in Aramaic. That was the language that they spoke in. And Abba was an Aramaic word that was typically used by little children, small children. Now, there's no direct English equivalent, but most say that Abba is equivalent to daddy. So, in essence, Jesus, our Savior, on the night he was betrayed and handed over to be crucified, he cried out to his daddy. He cried out to Elohim, the all-powerful creator. But he called him daddy. He cried out to the I am who I am, Yahweh. But he called him daddy. He cried out to Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. But he called him daddy. He called out to El Shaddai, the almighty one, the all-sufficient one. But he called him daddy. He called out to Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the God of armies. But he called him daddy. Abba. That's something that should cause us to pause a little bit. Daddy could have called out any other of those powerful names that we've looked at over the weeks, but in this moment of deep distress and anxiety, daddy, there's just something about daddy. I mean, in some of the retellings of this story, the other gospel says he was sweating so bad that it was like blood. And he cried out, daddy. He was no young man. Remember, Abba was something reserved for small children. Jesus was probably about 33 years old. And he's crying out, daddy. No secret, I love my dad. I talk about him a lot. My dad's been dead for about 19 years. And I can tell you, I think about my dad every day. One of the reasons I think about him every day is because I usually drive every day. And my father was a mechanic. And so every time I get behind the wheel of a car, I just can't help But think about him. But my thoughts of him are so intense. Like there are smells that I think of when I think of my dad, because he was a mechanic. He used to wear these denim overalls when he worked on cars. I have to be honest with you. I don't know that I ever saw my mother wash these overalls, but these overalls smelled like gas because he worked on cars. And as I've told you in the past, he used to take the snowblower out and like snowblow like the entire street. And so the fumes from the snowblower would get on these overalls. And right now, as I'm telling you this, I can smell the gas. It's how intense my memory of my dad. I love my dad. Now, large portion of my years growing up, I did not call my dad dad or pop or father. I called my dad Bo. I've shared this story before. Bo was his nickname. His name is Robert and then Bob, and then they shortened it to Bo. And when he was growing up, they called him Little Bo Pete. And for whatever reason, his children, my brother, my sister, we didn't call my father dad or father or pop. We called him Bo. I don't know why. I don't want you to think that for one moment that I love my dad any less. It was just that's what we called my dad, Bo. I was about 23 or so where I changed and stopped calling my father Bo. He was in the hospital, and he was about to have a very serious surgery. And I remember going to the hospital, and he's laying in the bed there, and I'm just visiting with him before he goes into surgery. I said, "Hey, man, let me pray over you." And so I prayed over my dad, which I have to admit, that was the first time I'd ever done such a thing. Then after the prayer, I gave him a kiss on his forehead, and I said, "I love you, Dad." And I remember he started crying. And to this day, because I never asked him, you know, never had a chance to ask, I don't know if he cried because I prayed over him or because I called him Dad. That was a change that I will never forget. And from that point forward, I stopped calling him Bo, and I called him Dad. Yeah, church, I'm getting sentimental over here. Because that's what happens when we talk about our dads. Now, listen, I know that not everyone in here had great relationships with your fathers. I know that. But I can say this with certainty, that everyone in here would love and hopes to have a great relationship with their dad or wanted to. For some of us, it didn't work out that way. But that doesn't negate that is something that we long for. We all long for a great relationship with our fathers. We get teary-eyed and into our feels when we see reunions and we see good relationships with dads. How many of y'all, you ever see those videos when like the military personnel come back and they, okay, I'm going to show you a few right now. I'm just warning you. Uh-oh, computer crash, but we'll get that up in a second. When that comes back, I'm going to say, I'm just warning you, so if you're by some tissue, you might want to get some tissue. You might want to get your sleeve ready. It's just a few. I want you to know, I watched like a full 12-minute video, and I was ruined. So I might not even turn around and watch these. Are we ready? Okay, yeah, let's watch a few of these.
Fogel, who just turn got up, back please. From Afghanistan. His daughters were in the audience, and this was the very moment they found out he's home.
Hi, I'm Mass Sergeant Joe Martel. I just returned from Afghanistan, and I'm in Brussels. Surprised my son during his football game.
Mm-hmm. I just came back with from a year-long deployment in Kuwait and Iraq.
Come here.
Brian Bogle.
It worked. I watched this like two times before church to prepare myself, so it worked for me. I don't know about you all, but isn't there something, though, about watching kids' reactions to their dads? From the very young to the big and tough. That was probably an offensive lineman who's taught to be and tears when reunited with his dad. And get this, church. This is what I want you to get. This is what God wants us to feel when it comes to our relationship with him. Abba. Paul wrote this to the Roman Christians, Romans chapter 8, verse number 12. He says, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry," say this with me, church, "Abba, Father." It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. When I began this series, I said that we would be learning about God through learning about his names. I also said we would learn some things about ourselves by learning the names of God. By embracing God as Abba, we learn that we are children. Not just any children, but God's children. Not just any of God's children. Children alongside Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. Not just siblings of Jesus, but heirs with Jesus, and not a lesser heir. The text says joint heirs or co-heirs with Jesus, in which, like Jesus, we will receive an inheritance of being glorified. That's a lot to unpack, but just receive this. Daddy loves us. There is a lot of life to be lived when we are confident in Daddy's love for us. And that's what many of us, that's what we as children, that's what we long for, is Daddy's love. And I'm here to tell you, church, that Abba Father loves us. That is why in this moment of Jesus, where he was in deep anxiety and deep pain, he went to Abba Father. And this is the reason that even at the age of 33, Jesus felt comfortable crying out for his daddy. Even while having powers to heal the sick and raise the dead, he called for his daddy. Even though he seemingly knew the outcome, he called out for his daddy. And it is the reason that all of us, no matter our age, position in life, or season of life, we can cry out to Abba Father, our daddy. Paul also wrote this to the Galatian Christians regarding this matter. Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse number 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying," say this with me, "Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. No longer slaves to sin, no longer prisoners of fear, no longer orphans, no longer without a family of our own, because he is Abba, Father. The Spirit has made provisions for us to be the children of God." And I don't want you to miss this, every time you see Abba, Father, you see the Spirit. Like there's something about the Spirit of God and Jesus and Abba, Father being intertwined with each other. Our understanding of Jesus, our understanding of God as Father comes through this interaction, this experience with the Spirit of God. When I think about Jesus calling God Daddy, I can't help but think about the 23 years I called my father Bo. I know he knew how much I loved him, and I know how much he loved me, but I can't help but feel like I missed out on so much. And I wonder how many of us will miss out on the intimacies presented to us from our spiritual daddy. I just hope that we don't spend most of our lives, our spiritual walks, not realizing that we have a God who has given us permission to call him daddy. Think about that for a moment. As big and as powerful as God is, we have been invited to be as close to him as a daddy is to a child. Think about those hugs that those children gave their fathers when they saw them coming back from war. That's how close God wants us to be with him. I would give anything to have my father back on this earth so that I could spend the rest of my days calling him dad and daddy. I would love to see the face he makes when he hears me call him daddy. I won't get that opportunity, but I'm not fretting that missed opportunity. Instead, I know that I can spend the rest of my life here on this earth calling God Abba, Father. And you all can call God Abba, Father. So let us live in the joyous wonder at how it makes God feel. I'm sure he loves it when we go outside and we recognize, when we look at, I don't know if you're looking on our property, but there's like a tree to the north of us that's changing colors right now. Kent took a picture of it yesterday. It is gorgeous. It is beautiful. I am sure that God loves it when we recognize that he is the one who created it all. And we say, Elohim. I'm sure that God appreciates it greatly when we understand that he is what he will be in every circumstance. And I'm sure he appreciates it when we recognize that he's Jehovah Jireh, a God who provides, and that he's Almighty El Shaddai, and that he's the Lord of hosts, God of armies. He can win any battle, Jehovah Sabaoth. But I would just love to see the face of God when he hears us call him Daddy. Abba, Abba, Father. God wants to be our Abba, and our reception of that invitation will grant us, listen, it will grant us Abba's provision, because as a daddy, he will provide everything we need. It will grant us his protection. That's what daddies do. I'm sure that Jesus crying out in the garden was a call for Abba's protection from this pain that he was about to go through. Daddy! and it would grant us Abba's presence. I echo what Clint said during the communion meditation in the song, nearer still, nearer, close to thy heart. Like, man, that is the desire of desires, to just be near, near in the presence of God. Church, here's a way to be reminded that God is Abba Father. It is accepting Jesus' invitation not only to pray to God, but to pray to God calling him Father. I want us to, if you are able, to just stand right now. Stand where you are. And we're going to pray a prayer together. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. And in this prayer, you see there is a plea from children to a father for his provision, for his protection, and for his presence. Now, I don't want us to just pray this prayer as some sort of formula to yield some result. Let's stop relegating prayer to just, let's pray to get, let's pray as an affirmation that God is our Father and that we are his children. Let's pray to Abba Father. Would you pray with me? Prayer should be on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God is Abba, our Father, and we are his children. Church, here's a way for us, a lasting invitation for us to remember him. Pray this prayer as Jesus taught us to pray. And since Abba grants provision, protection, and presence, the appropriate response from us is to trust in him, to be calm, and to be obedient. You know, ultimately, that's, as a father, that's what I want for my children. I just want my daughter to just trust me and to be calm and to be obedient, to follow me, to just understand I have your best interests at heart. That's all I want from you. We don't always get it right, fathers, right? We need help doing it. We need check doing it. Sometimes we go over and beyond what we need to do, but that's why we need fellowship. We need check-in. We need the body of Christ. But ultimately, that's just what we want from our children. It's just calm, trust. I want you to follow. Same thing with God. And God made the ultimate overture to get us to trust in him, to be calm in him, and to follow him, to be obedient. And that is, he gave Jesus. So we're going to sing about that right now as an invitation. And as we're singing this song, if this is the day that you need to receive this invitation with full force, that God is Abba, that God is Father, make this the moment to say that, yes, Elohim is Abba. Yes, Jehovah Jireh is Abba. Yes, Jehovah Sabaoth is Abba. He's my Father and I am his child. Respond to the love of the Father by saying yes, yes to the overture that he made in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for us to give us a pathway, an uninterrupted pathway to God as Father. So today is the day that you want to make Jesus Lord in response to this gift of the Father. You want to make a profession of faith. You want to be baptized into Jesus Christ. You can do that. If today is the day that you just need to say, I got caught up in some stuff and I just forgot, I want to confess that God is Abba. As we're singing about the deep love of the Father, I welcome you to come forward if you want to. If this is something you want to share later on in a conversation by phone or in my office or in private, you want to go get some coffee, you want to talk about that, we'll provide that. Ask a couple of the shepherds, if you would, just come forward. And as they're standing here to receive you, as we're singing this song, if there's anything that the church can do for you, pray for you, be with you, come as we sing.